Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make the show happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Doing good. Spring break's been fun.
Absolutely. your definition of fun is interesting. It's been a lot of kids running around and asking me to take them to a lot of different parks and movies. Can you pick us up at the mall? So, so a few extra phone calls from the kiddos this week, for sure. In the studio with us, our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow at Home Street. Mike, how are you?
I'm just thinking about your dilemma here with your kids and everything, and your boy's going to be 16 here pretty soon, and you're going to miss it. You're going to miss all those phone calls because they're just going to disappear.
They're just going to disappear, and I'm like, where'd the kids? You're right. 3 months from now, which I honestly can't believe that is how quick it's happening. But yeah, 3 months from now, he's look out, Tri-Cities. That boy's getting turned loose.
So. And he's going to drive your daughter around. Pick her up. He's gonna do this. He's gonna expect to get paid for it, though. I mean, I know the hand is gonna come out and say, "All right, well, I'll go get her."
Yeah, unfortunately, I've made negotiating a part of our career, and I think he's picked up on some of it. So there you go for sure. Well, we always like to kind of start off with our crazy national real estate story, and this week I picked out a stunner out of Delray Beach, Florida. This is a newly built 26,000 square foot home, considered to be one of the nicest contemporaries on the market in the United States right now. And I tell you what drew this to me, Mike, is the closets. And normally that's something, you know, that my wife would be looking at. But when I saw the men's side of the closet and I saw three shelves about 20 feet wide for a bunch of different sneakers and shoes. I got to tell you, I got kind of excited about that one.
It looks like the suits are on a motorized thing.
Yep.
Oh, look what you see at the dry cleaners.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this place is just over the top for sure. 7 beds, 10 bathrooms, 2.6 acre lot, 1,000 bottle wine room, and 170,000 gallon saltwater swimming pool. I mean, this place was just absolutely off the charts. So it's always kind of fun to take a peek at those before we jump into our real life real estate story. And one of the things that I wanted to give, first of all, is it's really interesting when you compare the national market to our local market. And national new housing sales data was not as strong as expected. Elliot Eisenberg, PhD and economist, reported February sales nationally of 618,000 was only up 0.5% year over year. And the year-to-date sales are only up 2%. So you got to wonder and take a look at the economic data. Speculation, is it new tax laws? Is it a jump in interest rates? We won't know for sure, but the immediate problem that matches our local market is new home prices are skyrocketing, up another 9.7% year over year. And inventories of new homes nationwide are at a 6-month supply, which is what we said, exactly balanced. So there's kind of a discrepancy in the data. Normally when you see the balanced market, you don't see the price increases being near 10%. So of course I immediately, like we always do, I pull that off and I kind of put that together with local data. Couldn't be the more opposite that we're dealing with here. Basically, we're looking right around still, and I mean, this number is just scary for April. We're still looking at roughly 520 active homes on the market. When you look at 352 going under contract in the last month, that gives us what's called an absorption rate of 66.8%, which is high. Ooh. Basically meaning, how many of the homes on the market are being absorbed each month? Another way of putting that is to look at the current month supply of homes. If no new homes came on the market, how long would our current inventory last? And as you look, as the opposite of the national market being at six, we're at 1.5 months supply of homes.
And we've been stuck on that for a while,
Lance. Stuck on that. If I go back and look, going into January, we were at 2.3. We thought we were gaining and we were seeing some increases. If I look back at my data back around, the December was our high in December was 2.4. And so since December, it's gotten worse. So we had, a very quick start to the year. We did not have Snowmageddon. So a lot of people were out looking and buying. And so, yeah, Mike, you're exactly right. If we look back, over the course of the last 2 months, we're stuck at 1.5 months supply of homes. And that is just continues to be a super, super hot market, which it also in that data, which is telling, is our average sales price, the last 3 months has been fluctuating anywhere from 285 to 295. So that number has increased dramatically. So we've seen that same type of price increase that the rest of the nation has here, but we're dealing with an extra tight supply of homes. That can cause difficulties for certain segments of the market, many segments of the market. And one of the ones that can cause a lot of difficulty in is the first-time homebuyer market, the affordable housing market, and competing against cash offers or high down payment offers. So speaking of this, I had come across a blog that posted a couple different ideas on what to do in this market. This was reported on Zillow last month. And so I went through some of those points and said, okay, how does this relate to the Tri-Cities market? What are some of the things that we're looking at? And first-time home buyers in the past, say 3, 4, 5 years ago, it became very, very common for a buyer to ask a seller to pay a portion of their closing costs, meaning, hey, let's go in at, a house is listed at $175,000. Let's go in at full price and I haven't saved up all my closing costs. Let's ask the buyer to pay one or two or 3% of the buyer's closing costs, netting the seller not quite full price, but close. Very common 3, 4, 5 years ago. And, we saw 50, 60, 70% of our offers come through with some sort of concession like that. Fast forward to a market that has 1.5 month supply of homes. And if you go into that situation and ask for that now in this market, the chances are very, very slim. If you're in a multiple offer situation with 4 or 5 other offers, you're not likely to get a concession like that. So one of the things that was posted was, what can I do when I'm competing against a cash offer? Because in that situation with such a small supply of homes, it's highly, highly likely that one of those 4 or 5 offers could be cash. And so we're looking at first-time home buyers being in a very, very difficult position when making those offers. So what are a couple of the things they can do to make sure they're putting their best foot forward? The number one thing that was notated in this article, and I agree with, was be upfront about your finances. Making sure that you have a competitive offer that's going to compete with cash, that number one, that you have a pre-approval letter, and you give your agent permission to disclose portions of your financial situation to the seller. So for instance, if you're putting 5% down, not just saying that you're putting 5% down, but also proving that you have that 5% liquid, and also having your lender show a pre-approval letter specific to that property. So asking your lender, can I get a head start on my mortgage? And so I'm going to turn this over to Mike Denslow, because really, really interesting for me to be researching today's topic, looking at our numbers and saying, how can I compete if I don't have cash? And the number one and two points are about your finances and about making sure your lender has a head start on that process. Mike, what are you doing to give buyers a competitive edge that are working with you in this tight market?
Well, we're being upfront with them. I mean, it's like, man, over the last couple of years, have we talked about being proactive at all on this show and coming to see us as early as possible? The one thing is, with us, our reputation in town with closing more than any other place, most real estate companies know us and know us well, but that we close on time and we're upfront with communication. So that's a big plus. I get people all the time that there is something inaccurate on their credit. Oh, that bank said that they were going to fix it. The sooner we can have those conversations and get things addressed and get things fixed, the less problems we're going to have. The cleaner that pre-approval letter is going to be. Lance, you tell me. I'm going to throw it back to you, our question. Now, if somebody comes in let's say, a first-time home buyer price range of 225, and somebody offers cash, I mean, are you seeing a lot of 100% offers? I'm guessing that you're probably seeing a little bit off of that price. And so a pre-approval at full price, you know, maybe if it's coming from a local established lender that, you know, that's looked at fit more favorably than maybe a cash offer at 90% of asking price.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. And that was one of the points that I was going to make, and you beat me to it. You didn't even have to read the article, Mike. You do so well with this every day in real life. But that's one of the points that you really need to consider. The cash offer, cash buyers that can close quickly generally want a discount. They feel they should get a discount. They use that as bargaining power to try to get a discount. So yeah, if it's listed at 220, and it's highly, highly likely that maybe a cash offer with a 10-day close comes in at an offer of 210, but you make a full price offer, or maybe $1,000 to $2,000 over full price. So say now you're at 222, and Mike's done all of his homework and legwork, and Mike says, because we're ready with this file, we can close this in 30 days. Now the seller's having to make a real hard choice. I've got a cash offer at 210, but I've got Mike Denslow and Home Street with a great reputation. If I wait 30 days, I might net another 12 grand. Now the Mike Denslow approval with a local lender and that additional $12,000, now you're looking pretty attractive. And as a buyer and a buyer's agent, you've done your job, and you've really made the seller think about taking your offer over the cash offer.
Well, think about that. I mean, 2 weeks versus 4 weeks.
Yes.
So if I wait two more weeks, I'm getting paid $6,000 a week to wait another couple of weeks. Yeah, that's pretty enticing.
Yeah, and that will only happen if you're working with somebody like Mike at Home Street that has that reputation. I will just flat out tell you, I've submitted numerous offers on our team where the other agent will call us back and say, hey, we know how efficient your team is. We know you'll get it done. And gosh, we saw the pre-approval from Mike at Home Street. Don't worry about it. We know it's solid. And that's the type of calls we like our buyers. That's the position we like our buyers to be in. And so a lot of times a buyer will come to us and they'll be like, hey, I'm already pre-approved. I've got my pre-approval letter from, you know, XYZ mortgage online, and I really don't want to go through the steps of getting another one. And I know, yeah, Mike's great, but I've done two loans through these guys. So yeah, let's just just submit it like that. And I always have to stop him and say, okay, we're competing against five offers. The other agent on the other side is a smart agent. So if you want to give yourself a disadvantage against the other five offers, that's great. I'll go ahead and submit the offer. I don't mean to bother you and bug you and have you take an extra hour out of your time. But if you actually want a chance at the house, here's what I would do. And a lot of times they'll say to me, they'll be like, well, gosh, is this, are you being serious? Is this realistic? Do you think it'll make a difference? And I say, from my standpoint and sitting down with hundreds of sellers all the time in my office, it's going to make a huge difference. And I guarantee you what's even makes a bigger difference is sometimes Mike's been around long enough. Sometimes that freaking seller on the other side of the table knows Mike. and so then if we got two pre-approvals here, I guarantee they don't know anybody that works out of XYZ Mortgage based in Phoenix. But if the seller happens to know Mike, and then they're looking at that offer and sees a pre-approval from him, home run. And now we really have a chance against the cash offer.
Home street, home run. There I like go. It. I'll send that up the chain.
You'll send that up the chain. So that makes a big, big difference. The other thing that we're telling our buyers right now, and I will tell you, this puts a lot of pressure on the buyer and scheduling, but the next point was inspect quickly. Try to get rid of your contingencies quickly. Standard operating procedure in the Tri-Cities is 10 to 12 days for inspections. To get a home inspection done, to get the results, to have time to look at it. But if 100% this is the house for you, there's a lot of home inspectors in town. And so if we have to narrow that down to, say, 4 days, say we have 4 days to get the house inspected and get back to it, it's not preferred, but it's possible. And that could make the difference to where the seller's saying, hey, you know, I don't want to keep my house off the market for 10 to 12 days. Let's shorten that inspection time period down to 4 days before we put the offer in. Let's call two or three home inspectors. Let's make sure that we can get this done in the next 2 days so we have time to evaluate it. But let's shorten those contingencies so that your offer looks better to the next, you know, to that seller that's evaluating four or five offers or the cash offer. So that's one aggressive way for us to look at it. And then there's even some more aggressive tactics as we go down the way. And in a normal market, I wouldn't even be talking about this. And some people in the industry will listen to this and say, oh my gosh, that's crazy talk, what Lance was saying on the radio. But there's another couple things that we can do. And one of them is if you don't have the cash, but you've looked at four homes and you have lost out four times because you're not cash, you can go into an offer, you can go into a situation like that as a buyer, and you can still make an offer on that house without your financing contingency. So you could get away, you could get rid of your financing contingency, which effectively will make your earnest money at risk. And that's why I say it's a very, very risky proposition. But in certain instances, for the right buyer and the right house, they might consider this. You do still have to disclose you're getting a loan. But in this situation, if for some reason you don't get that loan, you're going to give up your earnest money. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow if you got $3,000-$4,000 on the line there. So very, very, there's a lot of techniques that aren't normally talked about, but in this market, things aren't normal. So you're going to have to look at some of these strategies if the overriding factor is to get the house. Nothing, though, will beat more savings. So the people that are out there thinking about buying in the next 6 or 7 months, I encourage you to get together with Mike Denzel at Home Street, because he will be able to narrow down for you, what do I need to have in savings to cover my closing costs and cover my down? Once you do that and you have that money in savings, you put yourself in a much better, less risky position to compete with cash offers.
Well, it's more transparent, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no question. You've got a local lender. You've got money in the bank. You know, okay. But
you're,
I mean,
you're ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, as your credit's good. You got a job. You know, all these different things.
And
yeah.
So that's coming to play in this crazy market of 1.5 months supply of homes. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit to the sellers about positioning in a good spot to be ready to do that. And we are going to go over the two most controversial items on the list of dealing with cash offers, and that's overpaying and making yourself known to the seller.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. In the first segment, we talked a little bit about first-time home buyers, difficult market right now, but we're doing a lot of out-of-the-box type things at the Kenmore team. We're you know, turning over sagebrush, you know, Mike. We're finding houses where people didn't know there were houses. And, I mean, we're knocking on doors, and we've put some people into some awesome homes over the last 3 months. And my buyer's agents, they're workers. And I tell you what, they're working hard to get some deals put together.
Yeah, it's funny, as I follow your Instagram and I see the Instagram and it's like, oh, congratulations to these people. And I'm like, oh yeah, I took care of them. Yeah. Oh, congratulations to these people. And I'm like, oh yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're blowing up, you know, Facebook with asks for things that aren't on the market right now. If people said they were going to be moving 6-7 months from now, we're talking to them about finding them short-term rentals and being able to sell their house now. So yeah, any buyers that have been out there struggling to find a house, please go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. My inside sales agent is ready to take those calls and leads, and he knows. So if you're a first-time home buyer that struggled with finding the right home, please let us know. We'd love to help out there. But the last 2 points before the break, we talked about a lot of the things you can do to be ready, and I saw this on a blog, and I also saw the visceral reaction to this that came in the comments section. And one of the points that they said on there was, you might have to slightly overpay right now. And, you know, there is good and bad to that. Of course, no agent is going to say, I'm so excited I made you overpay for a house. But that's not exactly the statement we're talking about. Mike hit on it early where he said, if you're going up against a cash offer and a house is $200,000, highly, highly likely that cash offer might be $190,000, $195,000. You really have to look at the comparables. You have to look at the trajectory of the market. And it's highly likely that you're going to have to go in at full price, or if the market can support it, $1,000 or $2,000 over full price. Because I tell you what, houses that we're selling right now for $195,000, $196,000, 4 or 5 months ago were selling for $185,000, and that's quick. I mean, that's a quick appreciation. So 4 or 5 months ago, if we're in this situation, you tell your 185 buyer, is this really the house you want? You sell it to him for $187,000. It does cause you to raise some eyebrows, and people are like, did you do the right thing? Fast forward to today, that buyer's in that house at $187,000, and that house is worth $195,000, $196,000 right now. In that instance, you did do the right thing. At some point, you know, people feel like the market's going to flatten out or plateau. So you're really risking, are we still in an upwards trajectory on pricing, or have we plateaued, which still might be okay? Or the third scenario and the negative for that situation, did the market go back down? A lot of financial indicators here, nothing quite yet pointing to that situation. So you might have to come in very, very strong at list price to make that known to the seller.
Well, I call it the sweetener. You got to give, you know, if you're putting in an offer, what's the sweetener? Because if the cash offer is coming in a little bit low, yeah, are you full price? Are you $1,000 or $2,000 over? Are you willing to do one of these other things that, you know, you recommended? Educate. That's what I say. educate, you know all your options, go in with what you're comfortable with, the furthest you can go, and then you see where the chips fall.
Absolutely. And Mike, I got to tell you, I know you're not going to want to hear this being a lender, so close your ears right now.
Okay.
But you're talking about that sweetener, and I've seen it. In fact, I saw somebody that owned a painting company put an offer in and agree to paint the seller's new house that they were moving to. Now, it was properly disclosed. The bank knew about it. So, you know, you get in those situations where the sweetener has to be properly documented. But I was laughing when I saw the offer come across. But, you know, he had that ability. He owned a company to where he could offer and do that. And yeah, we see some crazy things in this market. And then the last one to talk about is, and we've talked about, we've done whole shows on them before, and that is the letter to the seller. But you have to be very, very careful. How do you write a letter to the seller, make yourself personally known to the seller, but not oversell? Too many letters make mistakes where they you can write those the wrong way is what I'll say. And you really need to get with your agent and talk with your agent about what offer conveys that you want the house, but not that you deserve it. And that's where a lot of sellers get turned off, and the letters can actually cause your offer to be not considered. So you definitely want to get with your agent and talk about the best way to craft, we'll say, your resume for the seller so that they can look at that from a business standpoint and say, choose me when you're in that pile of offers. So it's getting creative out there, Mike. I got to tell you, and there's some different ways to make that stand out and to do that. And if you have any questions about that, you can definitely go to Kenmore Team and let us know. Mike, on the lending side, any other last minute tips for those buyers? When should they get with you to make sure they're ready to go to immediately write an offer when they see the house?
As early as possible. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, my credit's great and I'm W-2 income and I'm clean and all that. Just the earlier, the better. There may be something that, you know, our office has seen. We closed over 900 loans in our office last year. This is what we do for a living. So there might be something that you're not thinking about. Oh, I need to sell my house to buy the next house. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe that's one of your, you didn't talk about that, but maybe, you know, removing a contingency. Shoot, right? I mean, maybe you can buy it and then sell later. So we're just about educating you, knowing what all the numbers are, knowing what all the programs are, so that you can make the best decision for yourself.
Mike, that's great, great information. I did not even get to the second topic that I brought for the show today, so I will file that away and we will use that next week as we get close to running out of time here. But yes, any sellers that are looking to maximize their return in this market and you know, for today's show, more importantly, buyers that are looking for a great buyer's agent team to represent them, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.